Well, good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. The love of God surrounds us like the sunshine. Let us offer thanks. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're very pleased that you've joined us this morning, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending. We're pleased that you chose to be here during this hour, and we would like to meet you and welcome you. Those of us who are here week in and week out will seek you out to shake your hand if we don't happen to know you. And if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find someone you don't know and you introduce yourselves to them, because we would love to have you make a home here with us, and we're very pleased that you've joined us this morning. One way to become a part of this congregation is by taking part in what God is already doing in and through this congregation. And you can find much of that in our bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a couple of opportunities for you. The Women's Connect and Share gathering will meet in McWhorter Hall immediately following this service. This is an intergenerational women's gathering, and the conversation will be to further their vision to connect and share with one another. You don't have to have made a reservation to attend, so if you just on the spur of the moment would like to go down and visit with this intergenerational group of women, you would be welcome. And secondly, there is a table in Reed Hall where you can sign up for one of the hosting opportunities for Room in the Inn. This congregation has taken part in Room in the Inn, a homeless ministry in this city for many, many years. We have hosted folks, and if you have never taken part in this, let me encourage you to do so, to get to sit and visit with our guests, to hear their stories, to get to know them as persons. It's a wonderful opportunity. So the sign-up board is out here. I think there are probably going to be folks out there who will help tell you about the responsibilities, the various responsibilities. So let me encourage you to take advantage of that. The presence of God surrounding us all the time, at every moment. We breathe it in, we breathe it out, we take it for granted. It's here to encourage us. Have you ever felt discouraged? Have you ever come to church feeling encouraged and left feeling discouraged? Well, that's moving the wrong way, because the presence of God is here to offer all of us the courage to do what God has called us to do. Watch for it. It just may happen during this hour.
We come to glorify God's name.
We honor our steadfast love and faithfulness.
We come to establish community as God's people.
We rejoice that God is present to strengthen and uphold.
We who so often seek glory for ourselves rather than glorify God are called to examine ourselves before God. We who are far more likely to judge others than to look at our own shortcomings are summoned to honest reflection. Please join with me in our prayer of confession. Steadfast God, we are a people divided within and against ourselves. We cling to the values and patterns of a broken world and harbor anger and jealousy. The profit and pleasures that we pursue harm creation and the lives of others. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. Have mercy upon us, heal us, forgive us, and set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. God loves us even when we do not return that love. God's forgiveness is always available to anyone who is truly sorry for the broken trust with God and for the fractured community with neighbors. Let us live as a forgiven and forgiving people. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Rachel Ann Elrod and Jeremy Logan Elrod bring their sons, Atticus Cannon Elrod and Theodore Arthur Elrod, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is offered to us without price. Jeremy and Rachel, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ opens to all nations, ages, and races? Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and profess their faith openly and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
So we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with the community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these persons before us who will receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Now, Atticus. Yeah, hi. Hi there. Sleepy boy. Whoop, 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 whoop. I got to get that. I got to get this pulled back a little bit. Oh, there we go. There we go. What name is given this child? Atticus Cannon, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You all may lay hands on him if you choose to. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
What name is given this child? Theodore Arthur. Theodore Arthur, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you'll lay hands on him. Theodore Arthur, the Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born of water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face Atticus and Theodore? It is our joy to welcome our new brothers in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Atticus Cannon and Theodore Arthur to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
Thanks to all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members of the other body of Christ in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. In all things, God may be glorified.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Lesson from the Epistle, Romans 14, 1 through 12. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall. And they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister, or you? Why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, save us.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come up and join us in the front here, you're welcome to do so. Come on down. Yeah. The story I have to tell you today is one I first heard as part of a play. It was a play we did here sometime back in the four-story theater, and it's called Nathan the Wise. And it's about a very wise Jewish teacher named Nathan who tells a story to a Muslim king about how Jews and Muslims and Christians can all get along. But I also found that it's a very, very old folk tale. Now, by folk tale, I mean this is a story that has been told all over the world in different places, and every place they tell it just a little differently. This is the way I tell it. Once there was a king. He had a ring made. It was a very, very beautiful ring. He had one son, and he passed that ring on to his son because the son was going to be king one day. Well, and then that son, when he was king, passed it on to his son, who would be king one day. And it passed along through the generations until there was a king who had three sons. What was he to do? He loved them all. So he had two more rings made just exactly like the first one. And he gave each son one of the rings. Well, after the king died, the sons started arguing about who was supposed to be king. They said, I've got a ring, I need to be king. Another said, no, I've got the ring, I need to be king. Well, they all three had the ring, and they couldn't decide how they were going to decide who was going to be king. So they went to a very wise judge. They told the story to the judge, and the judge said, there must be a reason that your father gave each of you a ring that looks exactly like the other two. I can tell you how to find out who has the true ring. It is the one who shows the wisdom and the compassion and the mercy that your father showed as king. If you show the love and the wisdom your father showed, then you have the true ring. And so, all three of the sons went forth, and they tried to show wisdom and compassion and mercy in everything that they did. And guess what? All three rings were true, because it wasn't the ring at all. It was how they were supposed to treat others. Now, St. Paul is talking to a church. It's in Rome. And he's talking about people arguing about who's right and who's wrong, just like the brothers were. And if you stay in here, I want you to think of that wise judge and how he solved the problem of the three rings, because I think Paul is kind of like the wise judge in this story. You see what you think, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity to share your wisdom and your compassion and your grace with all we meet. We are each your beloved children. We have each been given your blessing. Help us to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. In the church at Rome, the followers of Jesus were judging each other. They were arguing with each other. They were rejecting each other. They were despising each other, a very strong word. I know that's hard to imagine in a church, but that's the way it used to be back in the olden days. That's how Christians acted. And unfortunately, we've carried that tradition through 20 centuries. Now, the issues they were arguing about seemed to us very distant and very arcane and unimportant. Do you eat meat or not eat meat? Well, what? Did they have an outbreak of radical vegetarianism in Rome? No. You see, the meat that you could get clearly was not kosher. So those Jewish Christians who did feel, as opposed to Paul's teaching, they needed to keep kosher, couldn't eat the meat. There were other converts who had just a few months before, perhaps, been worshiping the gods and goddesses of Rome, and the meat that they could buy had been sacrificed to those idols, those gods and goddesses, and they weren't quite sure yet if those gods and goddesses were real or not. Now, St. Paul knew they were just figments of the Greco-Roman imagination. But there were some folks who chose to eat vegetables alone because they didn't even want to take a chance on eating meat that was either non-kosher or had been sacrificed to gods other than the God of the universe. And there were those who said, it's not important. Those other gods don't exist. And the ones who ate meat despised and judged the ones who didn't, and the ones who didn't despised and judged the ones who did. Second problem. Certain people kept certain days as special days, and others chose not to. Now, for the early Christians, the first day of the week was an extremely important day because it was the day of resurrection. But many of them, coming from the Jewish tradition, also kept the Sabbath, which began on Friday evening at sundown and lasted until Saturday evening at sundown. Well, the Romans had no tradition of that. The pagan Romans didn't. They just kept Sunday, the first day of the week. And so those who said, well, there are no special days, despised those who kept special days. And those who kept special days despised those who did not. And this has been our Christian tradition ever since. Our need to be right and for others to be wrong means that we divide the world into binary opposites. You either do eat meat or you don't eat meat. And depending on which side you're on, you're virtuous or not. You either keep special days or you don't keep special days. In the Christian church, we've argued about baptism for centuries. You notice we dip water in our hands and we baptize these two young men. But there are those who would say, that's not baptism at all, just not enough water. How much water does it take for God to work? We believe these young men are baptized, absolutely. But that has been an argument throughout the centuries. When we come to the Lord's table, when we celebrate Holy Communion, there are those who believe that those elements actually become in some way the body and blood of Christ. There are others who believe they represent in a significant way the body and blood of Christ. There are others who say they are just symbolic. And we have killed each other over these issues. We have gone to war over these issues. And if you don't think the warfare continues, just talk to someone who's in a church where the worship wars have taken place. Do we have traditional worship or do we have contemporary worship? And the congregation divides and they judge and they despise each other. Well, see, when we do that, when we divide things like light and darkness, we forget that light is not just light and darkness is not just darkness, but during the day there are various shades of light and darkness. Even at night, various times of light and darkness. Barbara Brown Taylor has a wonderful new book called Learning to Walk in the Dark. She's one of my favorite writers. I would read absolutely anything the woman wrote. She's an Episcopal priest, a college professor. And what she suggests is that over the centuries, we have maligned the dark because that's where we put all the things we fear. And we have even maligned people with dark skin for that same reason. No good reason. She suggests that in the dark is where we encounter the living God. that we come into the presence of God in that place where we can't fully see what's going on, we can't fully hear what's going on, and we experience God in our own limited way, which is the only way we humans can experience God. Well, Paul's solution, interestingly enough, is love. That's what he said last week. Now, does that mean that there are no right and wrong things to do? Of course not. Last week he said whatever falls outside the parameters of loving your neighbor as yourself is wrong. He even lists some of those things. But neither of these activities, eating or not eating, keeping special days or not keeping special days, falls outside that circle of love. What falls outside that circle is the judging and the criticizing and the arguing and the despising. So his suggestion is, whatever you do in worship, do it for the love of God. If you eat meat for the love of God. If you eat only vegetables for the love of God, and don't judge the other who is doing differently. If you keep special days, keep those special days for the love of God. If you choose not to, make that choice for the love of God. Who are you, Paul says, to judge someone else's servant? I am not your master. You are not my master. There was a story that was told by Maurice Boyd. He was an Irish preacher who served the Methodist Church in Ireland and then served in Canada and then served in New York City. When he was serving in Ireland, he was in trouble with one of his church boards, and they called him on the carpet. He was a young preacher, and they finished their indictment of him by saying, "You must remember, sir, that you are our servant." And he said, "You must remember, sir, that you are not my master. We have but one. None of us is God. None of us is Jesus. None of us is the judge of the universe. The best we can do, the literal best we can do, is to offer the love of God in all that we do. Our limited ways of knowing, our limited mind and imagination, keep us from knowing what's in another person's heart. Only God knows that. I've become convinced over the years that Christianity is less about being right and more about being compassionate and forgiving. Because you see, when we look at the light and the darkness, it exists in all of us. Both exist in all of us. We carry them inside us. And we all need that forgiveness that others can offer and that we can offer others. A few weeks ago, I went to a film called Calvary. It's one of the few films that literally left me speechless. As you well know, very few things leave me speechless. I went with my daughter Sarah and one of her friends. And when we walked out of the theater, Sarah said, "Woo, we're going to need to talk about that." And I said, "I'm not ready to talk about it." I almost never say that. In the film, one of the things I appreciated was that every character was flawed, even the, quote, good priest. Every character was deeply flawed. You learn what's going to happen in the very first minute or two of the movie, and you spend the rest of the film hoping it doesn't. In the midst of the film, there's a conversation between the priest and his daughter. Now, he's a Catholic priest, but he had been married previously. When his wife died, he entered the priesthood. His daughter, who had attempted suicide, comes to visit him in this rural parish, and he learns for the first time that she felt abandoned twice. Once because of the work he did out in the world, and the second time after her mother died that he had entered the priesthood. He never recognized that he and his actions had left her feeling absolutely abandoned and bereft. It's a conversation that takes place between them. And in that conversation, she's in Dublin. He's back where he's serving. He says, you know, I think we focus too much on vices. I think we ought to focus on virtues. His daughter says, like what? What kind of virtues? He said, like forgiveness. She pauses a bit and she says, I forgive you. Do you forgive me? And her father says, always. I think that is what St. Paul is talking about. That what we do is extend to those things, to other people, those things that invite them to come closer to God. That don't push them away from God, but invite them to come closer to God. That allow them to come closer, even if they come in a way that we don't understand or perhaps don't even approve of. Let me give you one more example. A friend came to worship who's not used to worshiping in United Methodist churches, came with a companion. The friend is in recovery and is very involved in AA. And so when it came time for communion, the friend turned to the companion and said, is that wine? And the companion said, no. And so that friend could come and take both elements. Now, you'll hear several explanations as to why Protestants, and specifically United Methodists, don't use wine in communion. One is that we were part of the temperance movement, which really is misnamed. It was not a temperance movement. It was an abstinence movement. Okay? And we were. Another explanation is that Mr. Welch, who learned how to pasteurize grape juice so that it didn't turn into either vinegar or wine and would keep, was a Methodist. In my more cynical moments, that's where I land. But you know what our social principles say? They say that we continue that custom so that those who struggle with addictions to alcohol will be welcomed at this table to participate fully. I think that, too, is what St. Paul was talking about. Practicing those practices that welcome others to come closer to God and to stop doing those things that push people away from God. Because you see, when it comes right down to it, in the very end, we serve a God who has given each of us one of those rings. And it's for us to live out the wisdom and the compassion and the mercy. We serve a God that when we say, do you forgive me? God says, always. Thanks be to God. We have very special moments in this worship service. We've experienced one in baptism. We're about to experience another as we give our Bibles to third graders. So, Becky, if you will lead us through that.
All right. If you'll stay down here. As Michael has already said, today is a special day in the faith journey of our third graders. We give a Bible to every third grader because they are now old enough to hopefully read the Bible themselves, talk about it with their parents, friends, and teachers at church, and learn from the Bible about what it means to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, we're going to invite all of the families and third graders to come to the communion rail here this morning at this time. And as you are coming, I'll invite Pastor Michael and Karen Perkle and Pastor Nancy Hawthorne to help to present these Bibles to our third graders. I'm gonna call names, and y'all can present them. They're in alphabetical order, starting here. These two stacks. So. Bridget Lee Bailey. Lillian Clark Cook. William McCord Caldwell III. Jacob Coleman Creekmore. Evelyn Taylor Fish. David Oliver Gunter. Annalie Carol Hornsby. Abe McGuire. Mary Elizabeth Peacock. Graham Garrison Rudder. Ava Suzanne Troxler. Aiden Clark Watson. Everybody get one? Everybody got one? All right, awesome. We're so glad. There is a little bit of a liturgy in our bulletin, so pastors and Karen, we're going to say these things, and hopefully parents brought a bulletin, and third graders, y'all have a response to us, and then we'll invite the congregation to bless these children and their Bibles. Receive the word of God. Learn its stories and study its words. Its stories belong to us all, and these words speak to us all. They tell us who we are, tell us that we belong to one another, for we are the people of God. Okay, third graders, if y'all can respond to us by saying, we receive these Bibles with our hands, our hearts, and our minds. So, children, if y'all will turn and face the congregation, and if the congregation will please stand and join us in the response that I think is printed in your bulletin, that would be great. We rejoice in this step of your faith journey. We pray God will guide you and your family and us as you use this Holy Bible, your home, in your Sunday school class, and in our worship. We will learn together and grow in our love for God's word. Thanks be to God. Thank you all, and you may return to your seats.
Good morning. We are grateful that God has called us together for worship today. If you are a guest, please join us for a time of fellowship after the service in Reed Hall through the doors to your right. If you are new to our community, please stop by the Bread for the Journey table where you will find information about our ministries as well as a small gift. Please note the gray cards in the pew racks. One side is for any comments or questions for staff or lay leadership. and the reverse side is for any prayer requests that you may have. This card may be placed in the offering plate in just a moment. Also, please pass the attendance pad down your row if you have not done so already. And when it reaches the end, pass it back down the row and take note of those who are present with you in worship today. This morning we rejoice with the Reynolds family. William Lewis Reynolds was born on September 5th to Jennifer and Will Reynolds. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we sit in quietness here, our thoughts are far from quiet. We are wrestling with doubts and fears. We are looking for answers. We are hoping against hope. We are seeking strength. Today we ask you to fill us. Fill us with the breath of life. Fill us with thankful hearts. Fill us with calmness, courage, and most of all, with the knowledge of your presence. There are others we know and love who are ill, and we ask, O God, that you would surround them with your strong, healing presence. Grant wisdom to those who need answers to difficult questions. Grant hope to those who despair, and friendship to those who feel lonely. Most of all, O Lord our God, may we know your love, the great love you have for each of us, and may we not lose sight of your constant care. We look to you, O God, to be present in our communities and in our world. Continue to show us how we at West End United Methodist Church can be a part of your work in the world. Teach us how we can grow in our faith and become more and more like Jesus. And now we gather all our prayers together, the spoken and the unspoken, and pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and offerings.
Before you go rushing out, if there are any college students present today who would like to join in the college lunch, it is up one flight of stairs in the fireplace room, which is part of the Youth Center. You'll be meeting with John Feldhacker today. You are all welcome. Now go forth in love to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And the grace that comes from Jesus Christ that surrounds us at every moment, the love of God that works through us, through God's Holy Spirit, allowing us to show that wisdom and compassion and mercy that is our inheritance from God, will be with you this day and forevermore. Go in peace.